The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. It is September 3rd. Joshua and William Arathot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
I still think it's August. We've almost got, we have October, no, oh god, we're almost done 2020. Oh.
Yeah. We're close. What else? What other devastating things will happen? The aliens haven't came yet, but
We didn't have any killer hornets yet.
No, we had the murder hornets, but not up here. But the good news is, the wrestling business right now, after, you know, a very terrible situation, but in some ways good to let victims have their healing, we do have actual good wrestling finally kind of going on, after kind of being stagnant on that for a while. And we kind of hit the crescendo this week with All Out, which I'm super excited. I've really kind of just been watching more weekly AEW again after you kind of encouraged me to get back into watching it more full time. And I'm really happy that I have. I think, like we talked about on Monday show, 56th on TV Guide, and you can understand why with how well it flows. And this show has just done such a good job of promoting everything. I'm really excited for what this show is going to do on Saturday.
AEW. Has had a great first year. We're closing in on the 1 year anniversary. They got a month left to go. Jim Cornette was very wrong in them being out in 4 months. Much like Cornette's wrong in a lot of things. Oops, I said that on air.
Maybe him and his wife will get you together for a special night, Joel. Whammy.
Oh boy. Cult of Cornette is coming for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call themselves. The Cult of really? Cornette. Yeah, I just steer clear.
Anyone that goes over a Canadian national treasure like Santino Marella, you're not good at my books.
No. Santino.
Anthony Carelli, for those that want his non-shoot name.
AEW has done a great job. I'm really happy with what AEW has done. There's learning, and there's always areas that they can grow and improve on. But I feel like this is a company that we're really seeing learn and grow. And it really, like, All Out's going to be a lot of fun. I think AEW is going to be a lot of fun. I thought Wednesday was a decent show. I thought it was one of the not weaker, but it was definitely not a strong show. But at the same time, it helped lay the building blocks for Saturday, which is they deliver on their pay-per-views, and I think they're going to deliver again.
I think so too. And I just think we have a really fun card. We've done a really fun build. I think the BTEs have been strong building up to some of the stuff on it. There really doesn't really feel like to be a dark low point in this either. Like, what's the low point of this show? Like, what's the point? Like, okay, I can leave during that match. I don't think there's a match on the show that I'm like, okay, that's like the bathroom break, quote unquote, or like I can kind of take a break or like go on my phone. I don't think there's a break like that really. Like, every match is intriguing and you want to know what the result is.
And I mean, there'll probably be some match that will happen that won't be quite up to snuff. And that usually happens on a wrestling show. And that's perfectly fine. But it's a good feeling heading into a show going, I am pumped and excited for this. But with all the praise heading towards AEW, and there'll be some critiques, I do want to hit on what kicked the week off for us, which was NXT. We didn't get to do a post show on that. And that match, heading into it, I was really excited. You can confirm this. I was really excited. We were up in Canada, and there is a little bit of loopholes as a way to watch NXT, because I didn't want to wait till Thursday, which, again, I curse whatever company decided to not put NXT either on a channel on Sportsnet or put it on the Sportsnet Now app, so I curse you, but I found a way to watch it. And you didn't see it, Josh, but you saw the spoilers that kind of hit for it.
Mike Johnson.
So I think I want to prep anyone that's been a long time listener out there for us. We both really loved NXT. We really, really, we couldn't. NXT was basically what we're going to. NXT, even 3 years ago, 2 years ago, was what we'll be doing with AEW in 20 minutes or so. It was just heavy praise, heavy joy, just great wrestling, always fun and exciting. Now you get to this match with NXT. That is the four cornerstones of professional wrestling for NXT. You have Adam Cole, who's the longest reigning champion, arguably one of the biggest can't miss talents that WWE has. You've got Finn Balor, who had come in and was a star, especially when Hideo Itami got hurt. He was very important to carrying that NXT brand and helped move it forward. Then he suffered on the main roster, then went back. And he's kind of meandered since October. You've got Tommaso Ciampa, which is a guy I think everyone wrote off as a tag team wrestler, nothing more. And then he became that bald-headed fuck that tried to murder poor Johnny Gargano. And the other cornerstone, one of my favorite wrestlers in NXT, Johnny Gargano, who I got to see his crowning moment live. He was another guy that should not have been at the top of the card, yet here we are many years later looking at all four of these guys being your top talent. And the problem is they're still your top talent. You haven't moved on to other guys. That's one of the issues in NXT, but you have this 60-minute Iron Man match, and everyone's excited because this 60-minute Iron Man match, 60 minutes don't usually happen. The WWE is very, very careful with stuff like that. It doesn't really go for 60 minutes. Put it on NXT. You put it on an NXT that's not going head-to-head with AEW. And you build this as the crowning moment of four cornerstones going head-to-head, and one of them will be NXT champion. And the match is all right, but you really feel like there's no major storyline and threads. You have all these people that will talk about wanting these storylines and major threads that help tell a story and help build it. But I didn't feel like any of these guys had any heat or any reason to be butting heads. Like, you got the too sweet from Cole and Balor, which was cool, but it's not as cool if there had been a story to it. You had Johnny and Ciampa face off and touch each other a couple times in ring, which that storyline got beaten into beef jerky, which is a shame.
The worst match of the year.
Which is crazy to even think. If we just finished NXT New Orleans and Time Traveling Us came back with our DeLorean and was like, yeah, they may put on one of the worst matches for WWE. You'd be like, no.
By the way, Joel, as you said that, we had five different camera cuts.
Oh, man. Man, like, the production, like, the match itself was good, but the build around it lacked. And the finish, well, impressive. I will not take that away from them. To execute that finish in such a clutch way on live TV. I don't know if it was live because it didn't have a live logo from what I was watching, but it could very well have been live. Maybe it was already taped because of the spoilers. Regardless,
it wasn't a spoiler. It was just something Mike Johnson had heard.
So maybe it was they were toying with the notion. I did not like the tie. The tie was stupid. I'm sorry. It's just dumb. And I'll finish my rant in a second. I swear.
Please do. I'm loving it.
The problem with that finish is you had 6 weeks to your next takeover. I didn't realize this. I thought NXT takeover wasn't until War Games, but it looks like they have a show in October, which from when they had NXT takeover 30, they apparently have another one coming in October.
And then War Games.
And then War Games. Which, again, I'm starting to kind of not like how many takeovers there are. But, you know, you can't say anything on that. Yeah, it sounds like, according to Pro Wrestling Insider Elite, WWE is planning to air NXT TakeOver event on Saturday, October 4th. NXT TakeOver Dublin was originally scheduled for April 26th, was postponed due to health crisis. Yeah. So this may actually end up being, WWE has two NXT TakeOvers planned for October. So it sounds like they may do one.
Is one not UK?
Yeah, because they're coming back with NXT UK. So that could be, yeah, they could have two takeovers next month. But so the roundabout way I'm trying to get to a point is you have NXT TakeOver 30 and you have something on what is rumored to be October 4th. We'll get a confirmation soon. But if that is true, why in God's name can you not use your 6 weeks to build a story? You can use the four guys that are in the match, and you can use the final two guys of Adam Cole and Finn Balor. Really easy, really simple. No problem there. But you should have told a story. This hot-shotting and not a full finish, and then you go into next week with the whole, now we'll finish off the match. For all you know, they'll probably have a double pin, and they'll keep this going. Because why not? But the fact of the matter is, you have 6 weeks that you could have built something. And if you do have 6 weeks, and you could have told a story, quite frankly, it doesn't matter if you don't have a takeover coming up or not. If you're willing to put on Cole and Balor on Wednesday this upcoming week, then you should be willing to move that to sometime in October and go at a special airing on Wednesday for NXT. We are going to have the biggest match in history, where it will be Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole versus Finn Balor versus Tommaso Ciampa. Hell, you could have had a tournament to crown the next champion. You could have had everyone in NXT compete in this this battle for the final four spots, and had the final four face off in a fatal four-way Iron Man match and blown the match off from there. And you could have planted all the storylines heading into it. You could have had sports analytic type coverage of this. Who's the favorite heading in the tournament? How are we seeding these guys? Maybe you have a battle royal last night. Maybe the battle royals last night to do a seeding for who's the first overall seed. Whoever wins it, it gets the first seed and has a bye. And then you take those next 5 weeks and plug in match after match after match after match after match. And you just have it where you've got these guys doing different things, having matches, moving forward to ultimately just the night before you have your blow off for you have the four guys locked in, and then those four guys go into an Iron Man match to decide who's the winner. Instead, You take in arguably your biggest match that you could do. Those are the four biggest names in NXT history. Those are all four guys that have drawn real money for you. And you've taken them, thrown them in an Iron Man match. Like, now that butt is off that rose. Like, there's now nothing more you could do with those four guys paired off that would really draw. At least in my mind. I feel like maybe you could do something if you told a story, mind you. But just throwing that match together, that's no longer a draw. So I look at it as this was – the finish was impressive, but NXT has very much suffered from trying to compete with AEW. And in trying to compete with AEW, they've gotten away from what made them special, what made them such a good product, what made them must-see TV week in and week out. Even though it's an hour and they would tape, you still had to go watch NXT. You would hear the spoilers, but you still had to go watch NXT. You still had to see what was happening with Gargano. You still had to see what was happening with Adam Cole, Drew McIntyre, Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Tyson Kidd, Adrian Neville. Like, you'd go all the way back. From that match from Sammy versus Knock in NXT, you've done a disservice to all your incredibly talented NXT. The rumors are that they want to move it to Tuesday. They desperately need to move it to Tuesday and not counter program AEW, but stand on your own, do your own thing, and slowly but surely right the ship, because you need to right the ship for NXT, because that's an important feeder system for your main roster, and it's also important to get all those guys back to a good level, especially when crowds do ultimately return. You need to get NXT firing on all cylinders, and I think the best way to do that is move it on Tuesday and put the title on Finn Balor. Those are the two things you need to do. Adam Cole should not be in the final two, because Adam Cole needs to be Adam Cole. I'm tired of Adam Cole on NXT. I don't need Adam Cole on NXT anymore. I'm ready for Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era to move on to greener pastures. And that is the main roster. You need to move on now, and you need to reset your main event scene. Desperately need to. That's the end of my rant. Thank you for listening, and I'm going to shut up now.
Welcome to Joel's TED Talk.
You know, I almost said that. I almost closed with that.
You should have gone, welcome to my TED Talk, and have, like, the Lisa meme. Yeah, so I agree with you for the most part, just... I would say it felt very docile. It felt very empty watching NXT. I remember when you and I used to watch the pre-tape show that was only an hour when we did some pods back in the day, and that show felt so fun, so alive, and you watch Raw or SmackDown, and specifically even AEW, and the shows feel alive. There's energy. You're excited for what's going to come next, and even when I was watching FCW back in the day, before like what NXT turned around with this 8-year odyssey, I just don't feel this excitement with it. There's just such this suck of energy out to it. And like the Bronson, like even watching Bronson Reed, who I was excited for to see, like, cool entrance and everything like that. But I didn't think too, it's a Tuesday, right? And, you know, so you're getting viewers that are normally watching AEW and maybe just skip NXT the entire week and maybe are just watching on YouTube, right? So you getting them for the whole show. And I didn't think they did a good job of explaining storylines well enough, right? You come in, I didn't think they showcased Damian Priest well at all, you know, of why, like, this match with Timmy, why you want Timothy Thatcher to go after him and what that would mean for him to go after the North American title. The cage match with Martinez and Riley, you brought it up. Like, I know it's about Robert Stone, but, like, someone that's just turning in has no idea why these two hate each other. Why are they getting to the point and the buildup that they have to face each other in a steel cage? Like, yeah. It's two good wrestlers, and it's going to be a good match. Don't get me wrong. Martinez and Riley in a steel cage, it's going to be a super fun match. This show next week with Martinez and Riley and with Balor and Adam Cole, it's going to be an excellent wrestling show. No problem about it. But why do I care about that match? And with the world title, yes, you were put in a bad spot with Caden Cross. That's a bummer. Who knows what direction that would have gone? Maybe it would have been Finn. Who knows? But like you said, you knew this pay-per-view was coming up. Why are we speeding along so fast? Like, Do you believe that the ratings bumped up because it was NXT that was on a Tuesday? Or do you believe it was because of the match? Or a little bit of both?
I think it was a little bit of both, because there's someone like me who was like, I don't have to worry about AEW. I can just watch NXT. So I think that helped. Not that I contributed to the ratings, mind you. But it's still, you had intrigue in this. But I feel like you would have had more had you built to it. Had you given a little bit of build, even a 2-week build, where all four of these guys wrestle. They take a... What you could have done is what they should have done. Well, there's a lot of things they should have done. But one of the things you could have done is you could have had last night or last Tuesday been all four guys draw a match. And all four guys have to wrestle different guys in NXT as a tune-up match. And if they lose, they lose their spot. So it's not guaranteed. So it creates a little bit of, they might lose, they might not lose. If you want to decide to have an upset, because you probably should have an upset in there, you could have done a few things. You could have had it where the fatal four-way is Adam Cole. You could have had it set out that the four competitors as of right now are Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole. You know what? Scrap that. I like booking on the fly. You could have had four matches where all four of them are facing off with different people. You can still get to the same result, but you can say we have to just you have to earn your spot into it. Just because you're the cornerstone of NXT is not good enough. You need to earn that opportunity. So here's two matches tonight. Here's two matches tomorrow. And then after all of that, you guys will have some sort of promo or exchange or tape segment with the four guys all cutting promos on one another. And then, because you don't want them going in just wrestling a grueling match. Last week, you can have it where they have a promo segment in between, and then week four is the blow-off. Easy and simple. You have the matches. They don't have to be long matches. Johnny's been through the ringer. So you could do a bunch of different things that, man, you could have done more. You could have done more, created some intrigue, created some interest. And like next week, so is Adam, like Adam Cole is going to lose, but how clean is Finn going to win? That's my question. Is
Undisputed going to win, or they just trust Adam Cole and they had the pet match of Pat McAfee and they want to put the title back on him and do McAfee and Cole for the title? You didn't think about that, did you?
No. Yeah. I think it's still going to be Finn, and I wonder if Undisputed
NXT champion.
There we go. We peaked, boys. I wonder if Undisputed Era is going to turn on Adam.
No, because I think they want that on the main roster.
Do they though? Does Vince look at Fish and Roddy? And
I think they're going to give it a try. Because remember that we've heard rumors that that was the plan for Postmania if there was fans.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I do wonder if they may do a turn or something, because again, this is different booking now.
You don't have anything left. You may as well. I mean, that could be something to get things going, just to get O'Reilly and Cole matches, right? Or him and Roddy matches. Like, there's stuff to go with there at least. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what the exciting matches are in NXT, even when they had Caden Cross there and Keith still there 2 weeks ago, right? Like, I don't know what the exciting, like. Yeah, I'm sure Timothy Thatcher and Damian Priest will be good, but like, am I like, oh my god, like they could do this? Like, remember Super Bowl, the halftime heat, and even the week before that, so some of the house shows are having like, holy shit, like this roster is unbelievable right now. They could do this, they could do this, they could do this, and I'm like, now I'm like, okay, what can you do? I actually look at more matches on the main roster and kind of get excited about matches on the main roster instead of NXT ones. And I don't know where the last time that happened, but that's where I am right now. Cause it's like, oh yeah, Dimitri Thatcher's a good wrestler. Cool. Like him and Damian Priest should be good. And maybe Bronson Reed and him eventually will be good. The women are by far the better part of NXT. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I don't even see a major progression with what they're doing with the women. Like even this Candice and Tegan Nox thing, it's like, yeah, they're friends. It's like, they are? Since when are Tegan Nox and Candice LeRae friends?
I think they want to be friends. I don't know.
Like, do you remember, like, this thing of, like, Candice and Tegan Nox being really close?
I think they were before Candice turned heel.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Candice has been friends with everyone. Io, Tegan. Like, I know it was Dakota and Tegan. I knew that was a thing. Even Io Shirai, I just, like, I think it's almost just might as well just get her to the main roster. She can have these matches against Sasha and Bayley and Charlotte and even Asuka, obviously, and even Naomi. Like, I just don't really understand the reason of having her stay around at this point in NXT. There is good matches to go there, like Chansey Blackheart's obviously a talented wrestler. You have Rhea, you have Martinez. Like, there, it's a talented roster, but I don't feel like there's been something with Io you can sink your teeth into compared to what you used to have with women. Even when they had like Asuka versus the Iconics that one time, it was like, okay, this is an exciting match. Can Asuka beat both Iconics? It just doesn't feel like that's there right now, right?
It's lacking such heat and joy and passion and fun and just throwing things to the wall and seeing what's sticking. I think if you move to Tuesday and you just let them do their thing, that's probably the best thing for them. But my fear is they won't fully go in on the Tuesday because that's a WWE product admitting defeat. And when have we ever seen them admit defeat?
They haven't. They've never conceded ever. And if they do it, they know that that means that they let AEW win. And they should have never really gone there in the first place. Yes, I know the original spot for the network was on Tuesdays, but they cannibalized the audience. It's better for AEW, too. Look, don't think AEW would have any problems with NXT moving, not for the sense that they technically won the battle, but we saw how much of an uptick they had in their rating. They hit 900,000. They would have hit a million if it wasn't for the NBA. It's pretty much a fact. I don't know if it's a fact, but I think we can kind of read the tea leaves that be like, if the NBA didn't have a big game six with a key player like James Harden playing and Chris Paul on the other side, AEW is hitting a million for the first time ever. And I very well do think, since, you know, we're having Super Tuesday 2 this week for NXT and AEW is by itself, I think AEW post All Out is hitting a million for the first time this Wednesday.
Wait, I thought the NXT was Wednesday.
No, it's Tuesday again. Super Tuesday 2.
Yeah, I think it's looking more and more like they're going to be staying there.
Yeah, because I think it's because of the hockey. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Hockey in USA or whatever. So, so All Out getting, you know, the post from All Out and the buzz from All Out and, you know, teasing some surprises. Tony Khan did, which I thought was smart for him to do in that conference call. And I'm sure they'll tease stuff on All Out. Would you agree with me? Do you think All Out is AEW is going to hit their first million this Wednesday?
I think so. I think the pay-per-view bump and I think just the overall goodwill that they have from their product, I think they're going to hit a million.
And as far as basketball goes, trying to think here, they don't face the Laker game either. So that's good for them. They'll be facing potentially, I'm just trying to think here, they may be facing a game six for Boston and Toronto, but I still think overall they should be okay.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so as well. And to me, like, I'd like to see them both do well. I want to see NXT, because how great would it be if NXT was firing on all cylinders, AEW's firing on all cylinders, WWE's firing on all cylinders, Ring of Honor, New Japan, all of them are firing on all cylinders, and we're drowning in good wrestling.
It'd be fantastic.
So what you want as a wrestling fan, like, I like AEW. I really like AEW. I like Tony. I like Cody. I like Kenny. I like the Young Bucks. I like Hangman. I like everyone that's involved. I feel a lot of goodwill and positivity emanating from AEW. But at the end of the day, as a wrestling fan, I want good. And that's why I'm hard on NXT, because we've been to a takeover. I've been to a takeover with another friend. I have seen it live. I have seen the incredibleness that can emanate from NXT. And NXT should and needs to get back to that. It needs to get back to that Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. It needs to get back to Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano. It needs to get back to Johnny versus Ciampa, the quality side of things. It needs to get back to that level of storytelling, that level of wrestling, that level of just being the best. And that's what we want. That's at least what I want. And that's why we need it to. We need to find. They need to get. I don't think they'll ever get to the level with Bayley and Sasha, Charlotte and Becky. I think that's the peak for them, women's wise, for now. I think they can eventually get back to that. But I think for now, having four incredible hands like that, I just don't think that they will ever hit that quite yet. I think they've got some good talent, but I think that was the peak for the women's division, and now it's moving along. As long as you can continue with a good, solid division, you can eventually get back to that peak. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they start peaking, and they are the thing that pulls NXT up. But right now you're in desperate need of moving to Tuesdays and just getting back to basics.
Because, like you said, in the 2020 DeLorean machine, I'm sure when we got to the end for a year in review, there's much more things we would have been concerned with, but we would have definitely had our interest minorly piqued about being like, your worst brand of the year is NXT? What happened?
Yeah, did Vince get a hold of it? I do wonder. I honestly wonder.
But no, Vince is doing the booking with Pritchard on Raw and SmackDown, so that...
Like, it makes me wonder what's happening internally. Because there has to be things that we don't know about that's not being reported.
Vince has been hand-on with these shows with Pritchard for Raw and SmackDown, so...
I'm curious. I'm curious to see what's happening behind the scenes across the board. It always is it's probably the most interesting part about pro wrestling is behind the scenes.
Yeah, so there we are. NXT, not ideal. Let's talk about the fun show. Let's talk about AEW.
I guess I got
one thing really quick. Renee, she did a bunch of interviews this week.
Oh,
go ahead.
Just before we get there, I would just like to point out that you remember on the podcast when you, me, and Mo were talking about where Austin Theory is? And we were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And if you Google Austin Theory and accusations, you'll get your answer. So NXT seems to be the land of alleged attemptive diddlers. So I want to put those two words ahead. Alleged attempted diddlers. There wasn't actually any diddling, but it was attempted. And you've got two guys on your roster, so that's great. Just fantastic. Great.
Yeah, and then he was on TV as... Was he not appearing on TV as allegations were coming out?
I think an allegation came out, then he got sent packing from his stable with Seth, and then this is the second time he's shown up on TV, was on NXT this week.
If they tag team him with Dream, I'm gonna shoot myself in the face.
That hi diddly ho, neighborinos.
Renee, by the way, so I mentioned Renee, she did a few interviews this week. She was very complimentary at WWE. She did talk about the COVID thing. There was a few weird things, and it's just what WWE is. They pretty much just ended up calling her and being like, can you not say that you have COVID? It doesn't look good on us. So they didn't like that. And they also told her consistently, please stop tweeting about your husband's matches in AEW. He doesn't work for the company anymore. We prefer you don't tweet about him.
See, here's the thing about that. The COVID thing makes them look bad, and rightfully, they should look bad. So I'm on Renee's side on that. The other one is that's her husband. Like, I get it that he's the rival competitor, but on a personal level, these are people that there's very much relationships that float across products. And that's just the way it is. And what does it matter if she sends out a tweet about being in Japan for a New Japan match or tweeting about Moxley versus so-and-so in AEW?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to kill WWE. A single Renee Paquette? It's not going to sink. It's not going to change the ratings. It's not going to put butts in the seats. It's a tweet. It is not going to... No, I don't care. I just let her tweet.
And the other thing, she was talking about backstage, and it wasn't as... She was very disappointed with the cancellation. She said, well, she had a really good time with it. She did say it was limited of what they could say, and just because she's like, if we did say something negative at the product, it became uncomfortable. The only time we really felt like we could say anything was the dog food match. But for the most part, even that was uncomfortable that we criticized the product. And I get it, because, I mean, realistically, if you look at that panel, like, the mainstays were, what, her and Booker for the most part, right? And then you had Punk, and Punk's the only one that could really say whatever he wants because he's the only one that wasn't employed by the company.
Yeah, see, and that again is, I get it. You want to be able to control the narrative and the story, and you want it to be all sunshines and rainbows, and that's how you want it presented. But then you shouldn't be doing a show like that. You should be doing a show on your network where you can control everything and not say bad things. It's essentially that. Being on Fox, if you got Monday Night Football on Fox and the commentators ESPN. Say something, ESPN, whoever it is has it and says something disparaging about the players or the something that's happening within the league, that's part of sports. You'll see it on Sportsnet with hockey. You'll see it with basketball. If something is said, something is said. It's not to tank your image. It's to be honest. You have to take some critiques every once in a while, and you have to take them on the chin. Because guess what? You're in an industry that has critiques thrown at it. So just take the critiques. They suck. No one likes to be critiqued. But take it and go. And I imagine that hampers the workflow. That hampers the workflow and the mindset. I don't know. I think she's better off getting away.
Yeah, and again, she was very complimentary of her time there and of who she had been with, but she did note like a few minor things that kind of pushed her the wrong way. And again, this is the one thing is, as high as we've been praising WWE to a degree, there is the micromanaging right now that is still there that does drive people insane. I mean, I look at something as easy as AEW this week, having Serena Deeb on the show this week. I don't know if Serena Deeb's getting a contract or not. She had a really good match, and if she ends up going to NWA or Impact, they don't give a shit because they wanted to help her get a job. And I think that's the one thing that's unfortunate with WWE is they don't do enough of that, of being like, hey, here's Serena Deeb. She's facing Thunder Rosa. You know Thunder Rosa's going to lose. Hey, they had a really good match. Well, you know, if we sign Serena Deeb, that's cool. But if she goes to another wrestling program, we're totally cool with that too.
Well, you know the other thing, and Tony revealed this on the conference call, that there's certain talent that's signed to short-term deals, and Matt Cardona is signed to a short-term deal. And that's a guy you'd think they'd want to lock down for a couple of years. But instead, they're signing these guys for short-term. They're seeing what they have. So when we talk about this bloated AEW roster, it won't be bloated in a couple of months because some of these contracts will expire and they'll move on from guys.
Other
guys,
like a 10-day contract in the NBA.
Yeah. It's longer, obviously, but it's giving guys a chance to show their value, potentially get paid decently by either AEW or another promotion. And it's not hurting your product because then you have to kind of tell the story within. All right, so we have Matt Cardona for 6 months. So these are all the beats we're going to hit with him before we move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and I want to say again really quick, that Serena Deeb match was really good. I thought that was one of the better things. I think, you know, you talked about it. We need to give that women's division some more time, but I feel like they are starting to progress in that way.
Yeah, and I think Serena Deeb would be a good talent to sign. I know Thunder Rosa is tied up in NWA. I think she's a great talent, and
she's a super duper star.
I think I would try to work something out where you can eventually sign her. Obviously, the company thinks high enough of her to have already released her AEW theme song. I absolutely think there's money in there. I think having a good working relationship is with NWA. And I don't get how you can critique this match and say, oh, well, she's not assigned talent. How dare you use her? It just speaks to how bad the women's division is. No. What it speaks to is that there are talented women out there starting to find their footing in the independent scene and within other companies. And this is a potential talent that if you have built a good working relationship with, guess what? You can bring her back. That's better for your division. Doesn't hurt at all.
The territories used to do for all these people that, you know, criticize AEW and are part of the cult of Cornette. That's what the territories used to do. You'd go in, you check out other people into your territory. If they hit, then you bring them into your territory.
It's a lot of why not just let her go. She's not beating Sheeta. I don't know how they're going to do the finish and keep both the NWA and the AEW title elevated, but I think at the same time, I'm interested to see what they do. If by some chance they can do it and they can have it where they're only a 30 minute time limit and they do a draw on All Out, I think that would be a good thing. I think that would be a great thing if they could do, but I think all their title matches are 60 minutes. So I don't know if they can pull, they definitely can't go for 60. That would be, fortunately, that would be way too long for any match. That's very seldomly used at different points. But I think if you have a good showing from Thunder Rosa, that's someone else you can bring in. Someone else you can bring in, and that helps bolster your women's roster. I think their women's roster is a very much a work in progress. There are still many things that they need to work on. But at the same time, you're seeing little baby steps. And you've got to admonish AEW for when they don't do something correctly. But if you start to see those little progression and little things moving forward where this division gets stronger and stronger, we've already seen in WWE, women can be your main draw. So just keep moving forward, and maybe eventually you can get to that same spot.
And the women have been the main draw in WWE. I mean, the female bump that WWE is seeing is the female bump that AEW is seeing, too. The female bump in wrestling right now is huge right now, so they want people to have. And look, I'm not as big on Big Swole yet. I'm bigger on Britt and what Britt does. I think Big Swole's a good wrestler. I don't know him on the mic as much. I'm not as big on Big Swole, but she's a nice hand. And, if you want to bring Serena Deeb, she's very good to have. All of a sudden you have Thunder Rosa maybe there. You already have Britt that's a star there. You're starting to see little pieces that can work, and who knows? I know she's a very controversial figure, but if they can even add a Tessa Blanchard, then you're on a roll.
So apparently, I can never find out any confirmation. I'm going to look this up right now. But apparently, there is some sort of issue with Thunder Rosa and Tessa, but I've never found out what
that... Of course
that...
there is. There is an issue with Tessa and everybody.
I'm going to look this up and see if that there's...
I guess we could say the same if Tessa ever came to NXT with Chelsea Green now as well, right? Or WWE with Chelsea Green.
I'm looking to see if there's anything... I'm trying to see if there's anything... Well, allegations of bullying and racism from Chelsea Green, Allison Kay, which was the NWA Women's Champion before Thunder Rosa, Priscilla Kelly, Renee Michelle, Mae Young Classic competitor, and I believe she's the one that's married to Drake Maverick. AW Shanna. Oh, wow, I didn't know she was also through stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if Tessa will work there.
Well, let's even say if like a Naomi became available, that's all of a sudden the right step to get a superstar, right? I think they're just really one other superstar away from really sitting that division forward. Kaylee Ray, who I really liked, that was in NWA. I don't know where she is right now, but maybe she's someone you can look at. The point is they are making the right steps there. And look at where the Dark Order was a little bit ago. They were the shits. They were probably the worst thing in AEW, and now they're one of the best things. The one thing you can say about AEW is they have now a small track record. Dynamite hasn't been around for a year even yet, but you have seen that just because someone doesn't get off to a hot start doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to not work.
Yep. You have to take time and patience. And not everything is going to hit 100,000% right away, but man, you can give some time and you can let stuff happen. Like I'm sitting there thinking of the Battle Royal that will be on. One of the thoughts that I had was, oh, they could bring Rusev in, and if they're doing short-term contracts, they can do a short-term contract with him. And they can see, and if it works, Jesus, you can offer them a bigger deal and then you're off and running. If it doesn't work and it fizzles out, then you part ways, shake hands, and go on with your day. You could maybe even bring Tessa in. Would you sign Tessa to a short-term deal to see what she's like with your locker room and what she's how she interacts and how she does, or do you lock her down for at least a couple of years?
Yeah, I do the short-term deal. I still think, and you and I have talked about this off-air a lot, I wish there was actual trades in pro wrestling, because I would go to, as AEW, I'd go to WWE and be like, what can we get for Charlotte Flair?
Yeah, yeah.
And because like, what does it cost us? What will it cost us for a small-term deal to trade to get Charlotte Flair?
Because the thing is, Charlotte Flair's literally done everything outside of tying her father's record as women's champion, which she eventually will do. She will get to that. That's the last big thing for her. And maybe she wants to get that and then retire and move on with her life, because wrestling's not an easy thing.
She hasn't lost to Asuka. That's the one thing. She hasn't lost to Asuka, so I guess that's the story you can do, but that's kind of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's another storyline. Like, there are a few little things, but I would...
Nothing big. There's nothing big. Unless you get Tessa. If you get Tessa, that's a whole different ballgame. The problem is, the thing with Tessa that works is having Tully on the other side. All respect to Magnum, it's having Tully on the other side of the ring.
A Blanchard versus a Flair.
And Flair is locked down to WWE for a handful of years still, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting. We'll see where it goes, man. I think the point is, I don't think they're too far off with their women's division. But we have yammered on and on about the news. Should we talk about it all out?
Yeah, let's talk about it all out.
All right, let's start with the pre-show. The pre-show is Britt Baker with Rebel against Big Swole in a tooth and nail match. This is apparently, according to Tony, in the presser he did today. Which, by the way, you can get that whole presser at, what is it called? Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. It used to be the Law, they don't work for the Law. Post Wrestling has the whole thing up in their podcast. I think the Wrestling Observer has the whole Q&A up in their podcast. So it's pretty easy if you just want to listen to the whole Q&A, by the way, that Tony Khan did today. But nonetheless, the Tooth and Nails match, this will be a cinematic match for AEW. I have Britt winning this, but it should be a very, we're definitely going to see something with a dentist chair then, Joel.
This is in a dentist office, and I think Big Swole's about to... I think Britt's winning as well, and I think there's going to be some drilling and some cleaning of teeth and eventually a lockjaw. And I think, though, let's look at how that ended with Tessa and Swole. Maybe Swole gets the win, and that just further spurs on Britt to get a win in ring.
Could be. So do you have Swole in that, or do you have Britt?
I'm picking Swole. I'm changing my mind mid pick.
Okay, so we're 1-1 there. Next up, we have Matt Hardy versus the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara. A broken rules match. If Hardy loses, he must leave AEW.
So essentially, this is a last man standing match, is what Tony said.
Right. I do have Matt Hardy leaving this and then coming back as a different vessel.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the one thing with Matt, he's really been talking about how WWE was talking about he was out to pasture. Mm-hmm. My thing is, though, Sammy got the win in the tables match, so I could see Matt getting the win here and staying afloat, because he's been talking a lot about how WWE saw nothing in him for in-ring talent. So I could see Matt getting a win here, and then that makes them 1-1, and then you can have the ultimate
They already are 1-1. They are 1-1 right now.
Are they?
That's why Sammy wanted this match, because Sammy said we're already 1-1.
That's right. We have to even
score. That's why I have Sammy winning.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Sammy wins, Matt. I'm changing my pick to Sammy now.
Yeah.
This is a fun thing. Like, you could see Britt winning, and you could see Swole winning. You could see Sammy winning, and you could see Matt winning. Nothing's clear cut.
No, I agree. So we agree on that one. These two are just going to beat the living shit out of each other, really. I worry about Sammy after the shot he had in his head that we saw.
Well, Sammy's willing to get run over by a golf cart. One of the best moments in AEW, by the way. One of my favorite things. So he's gonna fly off something.
Yep. He's definitely going to fly off something, and he's definitely getting hit by a golf cart, like you said.
Oh, I can't wait.
Those two things are happening.
It's going to be great.
Okay, next up, I guess this is the match. This is the match if you said, like, there was the break match, I guess, but not really, because this match is going to be exciting. It's just the one that has the least amount of stakes to it. That's Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks are serious. They're focused. They kicked out Hangman Page from the Elite. Hangman's career, life is fracturing. The Young Bucks are laser focused and determined to rise up to the top of the AEW card. And with that, I think they're going to get the win because the long build is to get them and FTR.
Yeah, I agree with you. Same thing. I think, you know, this will be a really fun match, especially Jungle Boy mixing in there with them. And Luchasaurus is showing that he can do some great high spots. But ultimately, I have the Bucks winning this match and starting their build to the top of the tag team chain.
It's been a solid year without any major elite guys outside of Cody. I guess the Bucks are the last one of the Elite that haven't held a title in AEW. So,
yep.
That's the build.
Then we have the Dark Order. Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. So Colt is fighting in this match, by the way, which is interesting that he's the one that's going in it. Against Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares of Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. QT Marshall will be escorted by Ali.
So one of my thoughts on this is there will be some plunder in this, but I do wonder if short-term contract Matt Cardona is going to side with the Dark Order. Because you can say, hey, I had a red-hot debut for AEW, and you've already overlooked me, much like the previous company did. And now I'm in this four-way match. I haven't been given any opportunity to really gain any momentum in a singles match. Dark Order, talk to me. Brody, talk to me. I knew Brody from back in the day.
He had that line in the promo package to Brody. You were overlooked, been there, done that. But maybe he, you know, like you said, brings that up again. And I think Dark Order, all respect to anybody else, needs a second kind of super duper star that they can really push in there. All respect to the other guys in there, because I don't think they're going to do that with the other guys other than kind of just being pawns. So having a Matt Cardona next to Brody Lee would be nice to get another established star in there, because Colt's not going to be that either.
No, and it gives it a different look, different feel. And then you have basically the four-person stable. You have the tag team, you have the mid-title, you have the TNT title, and then you have someone that can take care of the World Heavyweight title. So I think that could be how it goes. I wouldn't be shocked. If I'm earmarking anyone to beat Brody, it's Scorpio Sky.
Yeah, I would have Scorpio Sky. How did he kind of figure into this? Like, you obviously get Matt into this. Feels weird to say Matt instead of Zach. It still feels weird. You have Cardona in this, and I get the Natural Nightmares, but how does Scorpio Sky tie into this?
So he was one of the guys that faced Cody, and that's where his respect for Cody had grown, and seeing what the Dark Order has done to SCU, because they had a feud previously. So he's dealt with Dark Order before. So I think the thought is he's dealt with Dark Order before. He had a match with Cody and has respect for Cody. And it's all those things coming together where he's like, hey, I'm stepping up. I'll help even the odds. Scorpio's really kind of, he's still an SCU, but it really feels like he's starting to stand on his own.
Yeah, because even like Daniels, he didn't even come up with Daniels or Kazarian during that match. Ultimately, I have the Dark Order winning this match. It makes more sense for them, and you continue to build up this stuff with Cody. And, I mean, Cody, it's gone to shoot that show with Stephen Amell. They just started production. I don't think they even fully started it, according to Stephen Amell, yet. So he could be gone for a while to sell this, which is good. They just started the camera test today for heels.
I'm perfectly okay with them having a break from Cody, because when Cody comes back, it's a bigger deal.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have the Dark Order in this one as well?
Yep, Dark Order winning. It makes the most sense. Unless, of course, you're going to have Colty to pin.
Right.
Which could cause problems for Dark Order. And maybe give the next competitor for Brody an in. You can go either way. Again.
Is Colt's face going to be fixed? And will Colt be part of the cinematic match? And how much BTE stuff is going to be in that match?
Ooh. That's a lot of interesting questions.
Yes. Do you want to do the women's or the battle royal next?
We can do the battle royal. We'll save women's for the top half of the card.
21 Casino Battle Royal. This traditionally has been a bad match for AEW. I think we can agree with that.
Yes.
This is one thing they have not been able to nail down is this battle royal. So third time's a charm for them. Darby Allin, Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, Pentagon Jr., Rey Fénix, The Butcher, The Blade, Eddie Kingston, Sean Spears, Billy, Austin Gunn, Jack Hager, Santana, Ortiz, Chuck Taylor, Trent, and TBD.
So there's one that hasn't been revealed yet.
Yes.
Rusev Crush or Miro Crush.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
Eric Redbeard.
Or I can't do his theme, but dun dun.
Marty Scurll?
Ugh. That one, that hurts. That still
would have been Marty Scurll probably if he wasn't a piece of shit.
Man. How do I do his theme song? Dun dun dun. Brock Lesnar. I'm just gonna say.
Yeah, and then he just destroys everybody.
And then you're like, oh, yep. Brock versus Mox.
That'd be something. Ultimately, I guess it depends who you think wins the title. So we're going to kind of show our cards in that one, right?
Yeah, and I think both of us are the same with who's gonna retain. Yeah, I'm
assuming this match is for full gear, right? More than likely.
Yeah, I think so. I think this would be... This likely is either a Dynamite taping that will be in the middle, because I always like to have a middle title match before they get the build to their next pay-per-view. So I think that's likely. So I think Moxley's retaining. So I think a guy like Lance Archer makes a little bit of sense. You've really shown a light on him.
I have two people. I have Archer or Darby. Those are my two picks.
I'm picking Archer or TBA.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is Miro. I'm thinking it's Rusev.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could see Darby if it is MGF winning. That's not a bad way to go with those two guys, right? That's probably the next natural program to go with MGF would be Darby. They're so polar opposites. I almost want to save that feud for the future with Darby and MGF because there's a lot to do there, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I ultimately think Lance Archer's there. It's an easy match with him and Mox to go with for, you know, the big guy to knock him down. And you build up to what I think is next, but we'll get there. But so we're more or less kind of on the same page with Lance Archer, if not TBD. Hopefully that they can nail this one because it has been bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully they figure it out. And if they've got to tweak things, then I like the ladder match that they had the last time on All Out. I like the ladder match when Brian Cage debuted, but I get why they don't want to go back to another ladder match. You need to spice things up where you have a multi-man match. Hopefully they figure this out.
And maybe they want to go back to Cage, but I don't know if they do or not.
No, and Tony said something interesting on the call. They're still trying to figure out the placement and what they're going to do with the FTW title, which I think is a title you absolutely take advantage of.
I think so, too. Next up, you have the singles match for the AEW Women's Championship. You have Shida versus NWA Champion Thunder Rosa. Joel and I differ in this match. I have Thunder Rosa winning both belts and causing chaos in the wrestling realms.
I'm sticking with Shida retaining, but anything's possible, and this could absolutely send shockwaves.
Good. I think this is the biggest match in the history of NXT's AEW's women's division. I don't think that's a question at this point. And from what I saw from Thunder Rosa, that's the first time I've seen her wrestle. Was that the first time you had seen her wrestle, Joel?
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen her wrestle as well.
Super impressed with what she could bring. Very excited to see this match between these two women.
I think, I think there's a lot of positives from Thunder Rosa and Sheeta. I think this will be fun. I think this will be fun and enjoyable. I love a time limit draw for them, but I don't think you can get to it. But I think overall, I think Sheeta retains, but I still think it's going to be good.
I agree. Next up, we have the AEW World Tag Team Championships, Kenny Omega and Adam Page against FTR. I still don't know which one is Cash and Dax. I'm getting close, though. They have Tully Blanchard on their side. This has a potential match of the year to it.
If it can somehow top the Young Bucks versus Kenny and Omega and Hangman Page, holy crap. Because that's my match of the year still right now. It's a little bit trickier this year for match of the year.
Mine is... It's Okada and Ibushi, I think.
That's really good. There's some good wrestling. There's some really, yeah. really, really good. But these guys could absolutely have a barn burner. Hangman's obviously losing sleep. It looks like he's been crying. Looks like the alcohol is really starting to affect him. Getting kicked out of the Elite. There's a lot of emotion. How much does Kenny trust him? FTR. They've really gotten into his head. I think they're going to pin Hangman. I think Hangman's going to be defeated for a bit. But I also think we're going to get something that every wrestling fan will want. Oh, it's going to be so great. The rise of the Terminator. The cleaner. Or some version of whatever you're going to call him. His nameplate has changed from the best bout machine in AEW to the cleaner. So I think we're going to see the cleaner in AEW. And that's not spell well for Jon Moxley.
It does not. I'm super looking forward to this match. As anyone that knows that's listened to this podcast, FTR has been my favorite tag team in the business consistently. Thank God they're in AEW now. Obviously, they're going to get the titles on them, and then you're going to build to them and the Bucks maybe at Full Gear, but I think more than likely at Double or Nothing is the major idea, I would assume, Joel, if that's what they consider Double or Nothing their WrestleMania.
I think so. I think Double or Nothing is absolutely what you're building towards. I think it would be a mistake to not do that, to build it to Double or Nothing. I think you can go a couple pay-per-views with FTR having some successful title defenses and always finding a way to avoid the one match we've wanted for a long time. And boy, oh boy, when we get that match, it's going to be a doozy.
Potentially the match of the year of 2021. It hasn't even happened yet. So very looking forward to that. Next up, Chris Jericho, Orange Cassidy, a Mimosa Mayhem match. Match can be won by pinfall, submission, or throwing the opponent into a tank of mimosa.
Well, so I remember when I initially heard this match, I was like, I'm not sure. And then you just see the two competitors and you go, yeah, no, I'm all in on this. Let's go. Because I think if I'm booking it, and ultimately Orange is getting the win because you're establishing him as one of your next stars within your company, whether he's a world champion or not, I think it's irrelevant. He's a merch mover. He connected with the audience and he's just all around a solid top of the line performer that is not putting his body through a series of brutal bumps to get over. He just puts his hands in the pocket and he gets over. I think ultimately the goal is to have Orange win. I'm booking it. He's getting a pin on Jericho. But seeing Jericho drink himself out of mimosa would be fantastic. But I think Orange wins this ultimately. Maybe they have Mike Tyson come and punch Jericho into the mimosa and they tie that storyline off.
That's my prediction, is Orange pins Jericho And then Mike Tyson comes out and punches Jericho into the mimosa, and then Jericho goes away for a little bit.
You could potentially be going into the one-year anniversary with no Jericho and no Cody on your TV, and you're not in panic mode because you're missing both those guys.
No.
Partially because you're going to have the cleaner come in and murder people, but,
yep.
You know.
And Brody Lee just swear at everybody.
Yep. But he's got that Chili's money, so.
He just got that Chili's money. So, I this match obviously is going to be open to criticism for some people. I think it's going to be a very fun match. I think they've done a good job of building it up. Orange Cassidy's an outright star, and the build for that will be very slow for him to get to the top. But, hey, man, I don't think a lot of people thought Orange Cassidy, when he signed to AEW, would be second top billing in this company at this point. And he's definitely proved a lot of people wrong with how what he can be.
Man. Those kicks are just so devastating. He just kicked his way to the top of the card.
He did. And then finally, singles match for the AEW Men's Championship. Moxley is banned from using the Paradellum shift. It's Jon Moxley against MJF with Wardlow. This has been a great match between these two. Great promos between these two. I'm looking very excited to this because I'm just jumbling my words because I'm so excited about it. But I have Jon Moxley winning this match because I ultimately think they're building towards him and Kenny Omega. But they could very well pull the switch in MGF because it doesn't seem like the wrong time to do that either. This is the match. I honestly think I know where they're going because I think they're going to Moxley in the cleaner. But it would not shock me if MGF won and they're going to go that heel reign. And that's why I'm kind of hedging with Darby in the Battle Royal, because if they do that, that seems like the natural next match.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair. I think that this has been a tremendous build, and it speaks to the star power of MJF. And especially considering some of the stuff that MJF said is what other fans have been critiquing AEW of. So there's a little bit of truth to it, at least for some people. The promos, the selling, the final end beatdown of Jon Moxley from being busted open and MJF just looking like a vicious killer.
Dude, when he took off the shirt and the neck, he looked like $1 million. That's when he just hit the next level for me. Not that he had more levels to hit, but like, holy hell.
He's definitely your future in AEW. He's your future. But right now, you can't always try to cash into the future right now and make the future happen now. So I still wait on MJF. I still let him wait. The other fun fact about this, in the record for AEW, both MJF and Moxley have not been pinned or submitted. So this is your two literal top guys going mano a mano in one of the biggest matches of the year for your company. It is it speaks to, yet again, the success of the booking of AEW, because this just didn't happen. This didn't just go, well, geez, Jolly Gee Willikers, Daniel Bryan's over with the crowd, I guess we should do something. Or Jolly Gee Willikers, Roman Reigns, we're going to put... Oh, wait. The crowd's still booing. Oh, we'll still push him anyways. This, I firmly believe, was planned and thought out of getting to this point with MJF, because you know what you have with MJF. He is the future of your company. He's only 24. He's going to look like $1 million, and he's going to look good in defeat, because that's what AEW does well. It's one of the many things AEW does well. I'm really excited for this. If this whole show sucks, I might not come back to watch wrestling for a few weeks. If this thing fails, I may just want to quit on pro wrestling. But I don't think it will, because they always find a way to deliver. Jon Moxley very much has Austin vibes. Jon Moxley is...
Oh my God.
He is... But they haven't made him just an Austin carbon copy. He's still Jon Moxley. He's still himself. He's still doing his thing. And in another company that has some injuries and some talent that's not available for your shows, You sure do miss having Dean Ambrose, John Moxley around, don't you?
Oof. And he's facing Kenta soon too, right?
Well, see, the thing is, I don't... Well, his deal with New Japan is up. Yes. So the problem is, I imagine Kenta will defend his title shot at the U.S., IWGP U.S. title. I think he'll have to defend that title shot a few times. But I don't know if Moxley's allowed to wrestle in America for New Japan because of his AEW deal. I think his AEW keeps him just wrestling in Japan. Now, considering it's a special circumstance, maybe New Japan and Tony can work out a deal. That may be something that they have to do for the good of the company. I don't think it would be a good idea. You could do it stripping the title off of Mox. I think having Moxley lose and then being done with New Japan is the way to go. But I can see that where New Japan would want to sporadically use Moxley. So I think they're going to have to try to work something out. That said, John Moxley... Like, just having that little bit of a crowd noise with Moxley has just helped him tremendously. I really enjoyed the lawyer segment. The last two segments with Moxley and MJF have been home runs. So it's just, it's work. This is a main event build. You look at how disappointed I was with that Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match. Who would imagine in a year's time you'd go, you have the four pillars of NXT going head-to-head in a 60-minute Iron Man match, or you have Jon Moxley versus MJF, who I'd like MJF by that point, and you have Moxley around and be like, I'd probably pick that Fatal 4-Way. Now, it's a different ballgame because of the build. It boils down simply to the build.
I think this show's going to be good. And remember, you know, for those that don't know, I guess technically tomorrow, for the first time ever, AEW will be going against actual WWE programming tomorrow, because there will be AEW Dark tomorrow on YouTube against SmackDown. Ooh. Which is interesting.
That could be really interesting.
So you have that, then there's a bunch of there's a red carpet, which maybe something happens there. Then you obviously have the buy-in, and then you'll have the actual show in itself. This show has a very much of a show of the year vibe to it. You could have some matches of the year on it. I'm super excited for it. Regardless, you know, even the last AEW show that happened, was it the greatest show of the year? No, but it was entertaining as hell.
It's the one thing that they find ways to continuously be entertaining. And I think that's a goal. That should be your goal, is to put on... You're not always going to hit home runs. Home runs are hard to hit constantly and consistently. That's what made the NXT run so impressive, because more times than not, they were massive home runs. But you can't always have that. And times have changed. But that said... If you're putting out a quality show that's good to great, then, man, you don't lose, and your ratings are going to keep going up from that. You're going to keep finding success, and then eventually maybe you start finding consistent home runs, like what NXT did those years ago, a couple years ago. It's just a matter of getting to there and having quality content, having a quality show like All Out, having a quality show like Double or Nothing, having good Fighter Fest and good Fight for the Fallen, having decent shows like that help build both positivity and goodwill towards your fan base, that eventually leads to, when you hit home runs, they will be there, and they will be there more often than not.
Well said. Very well said. And I'm super thrilled for this show. Super thrilled for AEW. It's nice to have competition, because I honestly think the reason that WWE is just a little bit better right now is because they know they have to be. They can't be lazy. They have to do good booking, and we're seeing them. Do you not think it's not a coincidence that WWE is actually putting on decent shows all of a sudden now?
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden the programming has been much better for the actual main roster. I don't think that's a shock that AEW is around now, because that's Vince at his best. AEW is still a better brand. I enjoy it more as a show, but I don't not watch WWE now and be like, oh, I don't want to watch this. So that's fun. Again, like, my final thing on this is, again, and I'll say this every week, I'm just glad that I can watch the two main shows, Raw and SmackDown. I'm not super offended, and I have a good time watching it, and I can tune in and watch AEW, and I have a super good time watching it and just enjoy watching pro wrestling. I don't want to make a decision what brand is better and what not. Who gives a shit? It's all fantastic. We get to see all these talented people, because I was there during the Monday Night Wars when it ended, and it was awful. There was super talented people that would have gone farther in this business and proven their own path if WCW stayed open or VCW stayed open. And then it became monopolized by WWE, and they didn't have an opportunity. The cream rose to the crop, and the people that made it made it. But it's so much better that we have this diverse, vast world of talent that gets to be shined right now in wrestling. And AEW being what they are, it's fantastic. WWE being what they are, it's great, because there's just so much talent in this wrestling world right now that it's great to see.
I can't argue. I can't like, here's to build off your point. So if you go on Squared Circle right now, the Reddit, one of the things that they have is TNT plugging AEW, and Kevin Harlan saying, I love Jungle Boy. And then you go in the comments and you read and you start finding out that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are over with the kid audience. Like, the kids really like the two of them. And then that makes a lot of sense the minute you read that. The other thing you think about is, these two guys would never have happened in WWE. There had never been the thought of putting those together, let alone signing Luchasaurus again. He was in the system. They let him go. Jungle Boy, they probably would have signed just because of who his father was, but he wouldn't be Jungle Boy. And yet, thanks to AEW existing, these two can exist. These two can do their thing. And these two can get over with the kids, which is building the audience of the future. So thanks to having another product, you've given these two a chance.
You absolutely have. So there we go, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back with a post-show. I know Joel is on overnights, and so am I, for our individual jobs. So we will be back with the post-show at some point. I'm not going to give you a date, but we will have post-shows.
My guess is Sunday. My guess is Sunday.
Yeah, my guess is sometime on Sunday as well. So everyone, thanks so much for listening. And until next time.
Cheers.
I'm supposed to
say. Yeah, I had nothing. I had squat.
Cheers. Enjoy the day, people. And remember, Toronto owns Boston Sports. Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And good night. Bang.